conduct that falls short of completing the crime.
I don't know whether you had a chance to read this inchoate crime draft or not. What the commission decides may turn out to be rather academic, because George Platt is proposing that, and this isn't novel, this has been the direction some of the codes have taken, and that is that the attempt is going to be treated the same as a completed crime. And whether or not we'll adopt that, I don't know. For the purposes of grading, for example, if you're going to grade it the same as, in other words, you would grade attempted robbery for punishment the same as robbery. So it's going to, it wouldn't make much difference to a defendant whether you charged him with
a poor dumb fool
with an attempt
who never pulls
or
off a crime winds up in the pen just as often as the guy who successfully completes five of them.
Who's proposing that we grade him that way?
Well, this is what
it's my liberal friend George Platt. He's turned.
Yeah, we had quite a discussion in the subcommittee about that. A lot of them couldn't believe George Platt had written that.
Yeah.
He's become a prosecutor since Ways and Means sliced higher ed's budget.
Gosh, I have to get you out a copy of our last Monday's paper.
But for the purposes of comparing these two, we are talking about completed conduct here, where A has committed the crime a year after B and C for aiding and abetting, say.
All right, I see the distinction. And I see no difference. I see no problem with B personally. If no one else does, let's move on to C.
Well, I can see what you're talking about, but at first it seemed to me it had a lot of merit, but I'm satisfied with it.
I'm satisfied, too. I just kind of offends my sense of justice that if he fails to commit the crime...
Well, if his agent is unsuccessful, he's just as guilty as though his agent was successful.
Right.
He did the best he could in any event.
And we give him an out here a little later on when we get to renunciation that he wants to pull out.
What's your problem, John? Is it do you disagree with the philosophy?
No, I had two problems, Doug, but we were talking about different things. The thing I was talking about over there was the hang up between this and attempt, and you're going to commit a crime, but you fall short, and so you're ultimately charged with attempted robbery. I attempted to help you, but
had
was
a flat tire on the
unable to, so I really didn't help you. But by reason of this language here, I'd be guilty as a principal in your attempt, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like we're just kind of really reaching out to drag me in as a principal. But maybe we do it now.
Well, I don't think you'd be dragged in as a principal to an attempt. You would be prosecuted for a conspiracy, probably.
My problem is that I think you should be.
Well, we're not making a specific crime by this section. We're just defining criminal liability here, under which other things might fit, aren't we, Doc?
Yeah. And in answer to your question, he would be liable. It's just a question of what kind of label you're going to tack on to it.
Well, just labels there.
Okay. Well, I've got it cleared up. Let's go on to C. That's where we had all the problem anyway, I guess, to begin with.
I don't see any problem left.
The question was, are we creating a crime that doesn't exist?
In C.
Yeah.
Well, I assume now, the way it reads now, that unless you have a stated legal duty somewhere in the statutes to prevent the commission of a crime, the prison guard or something of this sort, that you can't, or the police officer who sees a felony being committed.
I wouldn't go that far, Bob. If that's what it meant, you should say statutory duty. Because a legal duty can be created by an interpretation of a case interpretation. So what do you mean, statute or
No, I didn't mean to confine it to statutory duties.
Well, see, then you're...
But I did cite the statute of this escape statute, which was an example of this...
You and I have a contract.
Duty that...
Well, each agree that if we see somebody about to hurt anybody, then we each have a legal duty to comply with our contract. We've made mutual promises.
All right, but... All right, that's a...
It's far-fetched. It's far-fetched, but it's...
Under what circumstances have courts or have they ever said that people have legal duties to do things that aren't defined in the statute? This Marion County, this Lane County case you were talking about?
Yeah, that's one
the kind of thing, the Multnomah County thing you were talking about. This is basically...
Then we have the statutory ones like the sheriff that has to prosecute gambling, the DA that has to...
Oh, yeah, those.
Except for what those two things that Bob just mentioned.
Well, is that enough to create a case precedent to prosecute on that basis?
Well, I don't know whether either of those have gone up. If they haven't gone up, it's just going to depend on whether it's sufficiently persuasive on the trial court to let it go to the jury. You always get a DA.
Well, any police officer has a legal duty to prevent the commission of a crime.
Of any crime. That's correct.
Him.
Yeah. No, I don't doubt. I'm not worried about him.
Not him.
Think about Bruce Baldwin driving down the highway here to Salem, when a guy passes him in a car loaded down with machine guns and pulls up in front of the First National Bank as Bruce drives down the street here. As an officer of the court, do you have a legal duty?
None whatever.
That shows that officer of the court really doesn't mean a hell of a lot, does it?
No, that doesn't mean any difference there.
This is supposed to break up a bank property or something.
Well, Bob Chandler's driving home and somebody passes him, obviously drunk, going 90 miles an hour, weaving all over the road. There's a telephone at the side of the road. If you don't stop and avail yourself that phone to call the police, and 10 miles or 20 miles on down the road, he runs into somebody and kills them. Negligent homicide. Do you have a legal duty to prevent the commission of that crime? No.
You got a moral duty for them. I don't know whether there's a legal duty or not.
I think you're talking about...
Well, a legal duty can arise in other ways besides statute.
Hey, Roger, would you get...
How is that, Bruce?
Well, like a contract, I just said. And I don't think we intend to get into that field or any field other than a statutory duty, do we?
Well, I didn't think so.
I don't think you ought to shut off the possibility of court decision saying that sometime in the future that citizens have a legal duty to do such, or an employer has a legal duty to do such and such.
Well, yeah, of course, there isn't any common law that I know of, any case law or statutory law that says that a private citizen has a legal duty to prevent the commission of a crime. And I don't think we'd be creating such a duty by this provision. I was going to see if maybe there were some other examples here.
You've got a lease, for instance, where somebody leases property to me, and in the lease is a provision that will not permit any illegal conduct to occur on the premises. That creates a legal duty on my part. If I'm the lessee, to not permit unlawful conduct on the premises.
And to be prosecuted by the state for failure?
This might permit him to prosecute me. When I signed the lease, I was only agreeing to have a duty to the lessor.
Well, Isn't this a matter for a civil equity matter, though, generally?
Yeah, but this might make it...
The district attorney is not going to prosecute you with those circumstances.
Yeah, but we don't want to tell him he can't either, I don't think. If we don't want him to, we might have a court measure in every county.
Oh, no, there's only one of those. They only make them like that once. Throw away the mold.
Well, some of the examples the model penal code had in mind was whether, and they discuss in terms of knowingly facilitating the commission of a crime.
I realize there's a great danger in trying to write law to fit one set of circumstances, you know, a single
prospectively.
Crime. I just, depending on the direction this particular case down here takes, though, this is going to be the most shocking thing that's happened in this state ever, as far as the number of murders and the style and fashion of murders and the things that occurred after the murders committed by one human being. It appears obvious on the face of it that at least one other person who was related to him knew about this thing from very early in the first or second out of what's going to be somewhere between 18 and 30 murders. Seems to me that under those circumstances, when it gets to this stage, a person is almost equally guilty with the person who actually commits it.
Well, I agree 100%. I think I think they should be prosecuted. And
these people in this state have voted back in the death penalty, 4-1. If this stuff is all spread out, it has to be.
well, I think that within the framework of what you say, that person could be held in under B. I think it would require presently that person wouldn't have a legal duty to prevent the commission of the crime.
I wonder whether or not she had the intent to promote.
Well, in her case, she's got a common law presumption, hasn't she, that she was under the coercion of her husband. Isn't that still the law?
Yeah, I think it is. I
hadn't thought of that.
It's fallen into somewhat disrepute, I think, in some cases. I think it's still the law.
But be that as it may, and aside from that, don't we have a kind of a responsibility to be a little bit conservative here and to say what we mean and really what we're talking about? Because we're talking about the situation of the police officer who has a legal duty to prevent the commission of the crime because of the statute. District attorney, the other examples that are set out in the statutes.
What if a company?
If we're talking about something more.
A moral duty?
Maybe we ought to pass a statute to make it a legal duty rather than to create an issue here that would create some problems and go. And have to go up for a resolution by the Supreme Court. That's what I'm saying. My judgment, perhaps, unless you can convince me otherwise, I think we're better off to put statutory duty in here than legal duty.
What happens to lots of companies have blanket bonds on all the employees in the company, and the company gets the idea, or somebody in the company gets the idea that the bookkeeper is working out of the till in the late afternoon, covering it up. terms of the bond require require everybody in the place to stop such conduct when the minute they know about it, to assist in the prosecution, to do.
You say everybody in the place, you mean all the officials?
Yeah, I presume that the president of the company can't sign a contract that legally binds employee A.
They wouldn't be bound.
Employee B.
If they weren't signatories to it, they wouldn't be legally bound, would they?
Unless they were on the board and the board passed it and the president signed it for the board or something like that. But you couldn't make a legal duty of an employee to squeal on somebody that.
Don't use that term. Aid the police.
That's a journalistic term.
Yeah. That's a SDS term.
Well, what I'm thinking about is the danger or the tendency of totalitarian governments to invite children to turn in their parents and all that stuff, and that sort of philosophy, this might squint at a little bit.
What you're saying, that if the legislature wants to make something illegal duty, let them pass a statute to that effect, and otherwise just confine it to the statutes now in existence or which may later be passed by the legislature.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I think maybe that's a little less than where I'd like to be, but in view of the possible dangers to the thing, I think maybe I'm better off to hold that somewhere short of perfection.
Well, I agree with you. I think this is a far short of perfection, because in my eyes, I'd like to see this rewritten to the point of striking legal duty and just make it a duty. And on section C,
I'd like to
make a duty to prevent the commission of the crime that fails to make such an attempt.
You want to broaden
it? I want to broaden
it. Make it a moral duty?
Whatever your mind implies from it.
We got a case over in our county right
now. I like that.
I never go for that.
You would never have him on a jury, would you?
Not unless I was a prosecutor.
We got a case over in our county where a county health officer is a pill head. Pill addict. And he's been found two or three times by the sheriff beside the road and hauled up to the hospital. And they pump him out and do whatever they're supposed to do and give him shots and bring him back. And two or three days later, they let him out of the hospital. And the district attorney, who's not particularly aggressive or competent in our county anyway, is unable to get any of the doctors to testify as to what he was suffering from when they brought him into the hospital, or what in fact they did to bring him out of this, or what he really is. I don't know what their legal duty is, but it seems to me they've got some kind of a duty here.
You mean the doctors to testify?
Yeah. Gee.
Well, can I, before you decide, can I tell you what the Model Penal Code commentary has to say on this? Now, they cite their section 204.3a, which includes this subsection on having legal duty. And they state that in defining the behavior requisite to establish criminal complicity, the draft is broadest in the case where there is purpose to promote or to facilitate commission of the crime. Of course, we use the same language as far as the criminal intent here, to promote or facilitate. It includes not only one who commands, requests, encourages, provokes, or aids, but also one who agrees or attempts to aid in planning or in execution. So we have that also. It also includes one having a legal duty to prevent the crime who fails to make proper efforts so to do. This represents, it is believed, an exhaustive description of the ways in which one may purposely enhance the probability that another will commit a crime. So long as a purpose to further or facilitate is present, there is no risk to innocence, nor does there seem to be occasion to inquire into the precise extent of influence exerted on the ultimate commission of the crime. The inclusion of attempts to aid may go in part beyond the present law. But attempted complicity ought to be criminal, and to distinguish it from effective complicity appears unnecessary when the crime has been committed.
That's true.
What you're saying then is that in considering C with such a fine-tooth comb, we're forgetting two above it.
Yeah, the word says intent promoter. There is something to that.
And it says, the draft does not confine itself to the case where there is a true purpose to promote or to facilitate commission of the crime. It also reaches those who, with knowledge that another is committing or has the purpose of committing an offense. Now, that's under their sub B, which we didn't adopt, which says, acting with knowledge that such other person was committing or had the purpose of committing the crime, he knowingly substantially facilitated its commission. But the kind of things they had in mind here, they indicate a lessor rents with knowledge that the premises will be used to establish a bordello. A vendor sells with knowledge that the subject of the
sale. Nothing wrong with a bordello. It's the brothel that you got to watch out for.
Yeah, right.
Bordello is a hat, isn't it?
That's a bar.
Saloon. A doctor counsels against an abortion, but if the patient's insistence refers her to a competent abortionist.
I just changed my mind. We better make this stricter.
That was their example.
Yeah, or a lawyer whose client tells him a story that would mean his conviction and tells him, you shouldn't have told me that. Go call yourself another lawyer and don't tell him.
But supposing under this sub three,
these little subterfuges fellas have your business.
Supposing under sub three, for example, say that you were practicing in a clinic with two colleagues, two other doctors, and one of the doctors was preparing to perform an illegal abortion, not through any assistance or action on your part, but you became aware that this illegal abortion was about to take place. I don't know, as a matter of law, whether you could say that you would have a duty to attempt to prevent that.
Whether under your examiners would say,
I suppose you, as a matter of ethics, you would. Wouldn't you?
I think the board of medical examiners would feel pretty strongly that he didn't have a duty to do something about it.
Yeah, but for the purposes of criminal sanctions.
Take away your license to practice, that's a pretty tough criminal sanction in itself.
Suspend it for a month.
I think that's a possibility of a kind of case that could fall under this subsidy. But I don't really think that we're setting up dictatorial situation.
Well, what you're saying really that before this becomes a legal duty in effect, you got to have the intent to commit a crime or to be involved, and you've got to have the intent to help a guy commit the crime
and have a legal duty to prevent the commission of it, and you don't perform any effort that you're legally required to perform to stop it.
Bribery for escape purposes.
Well, can I make a comment here? Referring back to the Brutos situation and Mrs., the way this reads, I see that it had no effect on her. Is that the interpretation of the rest of the group?
That's right.
This would not.
Unless.
This would not.
Right. Which is the reason I'd like to broaden.
Well, but she'd be covered under B because she.
Tibet's or Greed, she may have never aided him or abetted.
Agreed.
Well,
agreed.
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 I think passive agreement, I think in that case.
Agrees by omission to do anything?
Yeah. It's a passive agreement, not a stated agreement. She doesn't come out and say, kill the girl, but she knows that that's what he's going to do because he's done it 15, 20 times before.
Legal duty to prevent the commission of crime fails to make effort to use legally prescribed claims. Well, I hadn't thought of the qualification that you brought up there, which is obvious now from sub 2. So I don't know. Don, why do you think, why are you hung up and feel so strongly that we should have legal duty rather than statutory duty?
Well, because I don't think you want to limit it to statutory duty, because I think a duty can be imposed in the absence of statutes. Just, for example, these manslaughter by omission or manslaughter by neglect cases, there isn't a statutory duty imposed upon a parent to provide for his child, with the exception of the failure to provide support statutes.
There's the parental neglect statute.
There's a natural duty imposed upon a parent to care for his child.
Contributing to their dependency is occurring.
Yeah.
Well, what's the wish? Does he want to leave it the way it is? I've kind of moderated, retreated from my original position.
I think Mr. Paylett has outfought me. I think it's okay.
Somebody want to make a motion on section 2 then?
Also.
Okay. It's been a motion made that we adopt section 2 without change. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion's carried. Section 3, and I'm getting the funny feeling again that I got the last session that we're doing something wrong because we're letting Don get by without making any corrections.
Oh, we've trained him over the months now.
Well, you see, I've tried to anticipate all of your objections here.
He sits down at night and thinks, now those guys are going to say, and then I'm going to say.
Okay, page 6.
There's no liability for conduct and no defense.
This doesn't change any existing law. There's no statutory law in this, except as it applies to accessories after the fact. Now, we have a statute now that says that an accessory is punishable though the principal is not tried. That's 161.250. An accessory may be indicted, tried, and punished though the principal is not indicted or tried. But that's limited to accessory, and would not, under the definition of accessory in our present law, include the principal. But our case law clearly holds this, that it's no defense that your co-defendant wasn't prosecuted or wasn't convicted. That's really Hornbook law, I think. State versus Steves, I cite on page 7. State versus Casey.
Don, why is it necessary to even put this in? It's axiomatic, as you say, from the cases. And I know of no other draft that we've gone over where we take pains to say it isn't a defense that such and such. Why do you do it here?
Yes, we have.
We've said it's no defense in certain circumstances.
I think in arson. Arson.
The odds are probably with you. We did everything in arson.
Maybe it wasn't arson, but somewhere, but I remember spelling out what was not a defense.
Okay.
We've done the same thing in court crimes. I can't think of a specific crime offhand. Unless it seems to me that we've got a statement under our preliminary draft on theft, under our defenses, where we say something or other is not a defense.
Just wanted to be consistent.
Maybe not.
Be that as it may, why did you feel that it was necessary to put this in?
Well, I just felt that we should make it, as long as we're talking about criminal liability, make it comprehensive. I don't think it's absolutely required, because I think the court's going to hold this whether we say so or not.
Someplace we said such and such conduct does not negative, and we argued around about does not negative.
this is the present law, is it, that if the principal is not convicted, that the accessory can't be convicted?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
How could somebody give me an example how that might apply?
Well, the principal might, anything, it would apply to any. They might not even prosecute because they couldn't catch him, for one thing, or
might have a good lawyer, might not be brought to trial
yet. Okay, you and I are driving down the road, both of us about half smashed, and we get in a car accident in which somebody's killed, and included among those killed is you.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And they want to go after me for failure to stop you. Is that legitimate?
Or you might bribe the judge. Get out.
That doesn't happen, does it?
Well,
the
if for any reason
the jury
guy being guilty isn't convicted, shouldn't make any difference to the other guys.
Yeah, or you've got A and B, and they both commit a bank robbery. Well, B makes a deal because A's a bad guy who's got a long record. They've been after for a long time. Maybe this is B's first job.
Yeah.
So B isn't prosecuted. In turn, he testifies against A.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking of the case where he's acquitted, the principal is acquitted, and then you get an accessory.
You'd have a hell of a time convincing the jury if they knew that the other guy was acquitted. But at the same time, theoretically, it should be proper. Every man's case stands on its own merits.
He might have a crying wife and child sitting in the courtroom all the way through.
Sounds a bit of
that. Or he might have had a defense of insanity or something.
Mm-hmm. See, I go back to the Mr. Tough Law.
Well, what about B? What about 2, Don? Can be committed only by a particular class or class of persons to which the defendant doesn't belong. Like, for example,
bribery of a public official. There's this case in the commentary.
Yeah. Escape.
Yeah.
The escape can only be committed by the convict.
The guard can't escape.
Or a husband can't be guilty of raping his wife, but as an accomplice to a third person raping his wife, he can be guilty of the crime of rape.
Right.
Or a mother can't be guilty of the rape of her child.
Or I couldn't.
Well,
but as
you'd be surprised, Zay.
Yeah.
Would you entertain a motion to adopt?
Yes, I would.
I so move. Okay. Second.
Heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Or no. Motion is carried. Section 4.
Well, now, Mr. Chairman, before we get to 4, I made a note here on my draft to bring up something that I think we ought to discuss, just to see what the subcommittee's thought is on this, and that is with respect to causation. Now, I haven't set out in this draft, and now in culpability, when Courtney Arthur prepared the early drafts on that, following the Model Penal Code. Now, the Model Penal Code has a very long and involved section on causation under culpability. In other words, that your act is the direct cause, and they talk about proximate cause, and intervening causes, and all this. Now, New York, in their approach, eliminates most of the highly technical statutory language on the question of causation, because there are so many variations of it that it's difficult to formulate a statute that's going to cover it. In other words, if the kind of classic situations such as the old squib case where you throw the defendant throws an explosive into a crowd of people. And then B kicks it away, and then C kicks it further, and eventually it goes over to D and blows up and kills D. Well, is A guilty of murdering D, or has there been some intervening cause? And if so, what kind of a cause was it? Was it a voluntary or involuntary action? And you get into all these things. But anyway, I thought I ought to bring this up so we could at least touch upon it. And I can point out to you some of the options that are open to us. If you you're so inclined, and if you feel that we should try to formulate some language on causation. Here again, I think this is an area where if we don't say anything, the court's going to apply the common law and the case law on it.
What do you think?
Now, the model penal code,
I think to me that's an awful tough statute to write. And if there is common law and case law, why, that's what we got judges for.
I'm not sure I know that.
I think we ought to go be as sparse as we can with the words.
Now the model penal code section on it is section 2.03, and it's entitled a causal relationship between conduct and result, divergence between result designed or contemplated and actual result, or between probable and actual result. And some of the language they have in here is, for example, conduct is the cause of a result when it is an antecedent but for which the result in question would not have occurred, and the relationship between the conduct and result satisfies any additional causal requirements imposed by the code or by the law defining the offense. And then
that sounds like a written by a fellow had a master's degree in obfuscation.
That reminds me of Turi's speech on the floor of the Senate the day we closed, and we had the House come over to adjourn Saeed Iwas's for the first time, and he says, "Mr. President, I take great pleasure in rising on this historic occasion because in all the history of the legislature, such a thing as this has never happened before, not even then."
Not even then.
But when I first drafted this, I felt, well, let's leave it out. And then on reflection, I felt, well, perhaps we ought to discuss it. And if you want me to try to draft something on it, I will.
Well, it's something that could cause a lot of arguments as to what it means.
Well, and the problem is what you may leave out in drafting a statute like that.
And the Supreme Court said that but-for theory on proximate cause is no good anymore.
Yeah. But, of course, the case books are full of these old classic cases about one where the defendant was, he had his wife locked up in a room on the third floor and was beating her severely, and as escaped from him, she jumped out the window and was killed. The question was whether his conduct was the cause of her death. And another one where a guy had another man out in a boat and was going to shoot him, and in order to escape from being shot, he jumped out of the boat and drowned.
Well, it seems to me that this is if this is the kind of incident we're talking about, kicking the dynamite from A to B to C to D and so forth and so on, or jumping out of the boat to escape being shot and being drowned. It'll be a very difficult statute to write so that anybody can understand it. How you would, I can pity the poor prosecutor who stands up in front of a jury and says, in the language of the indictment, when nobody's going to understand what he's talking about.
Now Michigan and New York have, well, first of all, Michigan has adopted pretty much the model penal code language on causation, but New York did not. But New York does have a section, one paragraph, with respect to the innocent agent type of situation, where that person is actually the instrumentality through which the defendant acted, for one reason or another, is not criminally liable, maybe through immaturity or irresponsibility, insane or something like that. And they have a paragraph on that under their criminal liability section. Now, that's another option that's available to us. We could put a section or a subsection in on that without getting into the long involved discussion about causation. That, of course, that touches on causation, but they say it's no, they place it under defenses, similar to the section 3 that I have. They have such other person, it's no defense that such other person is not guilty of the offense in question owing to criminal irresponsibility or other legal incapacity or exemption, or to unawareness of the criminal nature of the conduct in question, or of the defendant's criminal purpose, or to other factors precluding the mental state required for the commission of the offense in question.
Without going any further, Don, my vote would be not to do it.
Mine too.
Do you think I should put something in the commentary on it as to why we don't want it in there, or why we felt it wasn't necessary, or should we just remain silent on it?
I think we should just...
The more you say about that kind of ethereal subject, the more you're liable to be misinterpreted.
I think so. I think I just... I just leave it, and if it arises, the Supreme Court will have a historical precedent with which to approach it, and they won't be encumbered by anything that we may have said in piecemeal message. Why don't we take a five-minute break?
So in the commentary, the courts have defined the question so well that it just doesn't need to be.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay. Our existing law either provides that a person's not liable if he's actually a victim of the crime, or the crime is so defined that his conduct is incidental to the crime itself. Now, model penal codes suggest the following examples. Well, first of all, under subsection 1, there you have a situation of a victim of a blackmail plot, or the victim, you can call her that, in a statutory rape case. It's not criminally liable for the substantive offense itself. Then subsection 2, the model penal code says, well, should a man accepting a prostitute's solicitation be guilty of prostitution? Should a woman upon whom an illegal miscarriage is produced be guilty of abortion? Of course, we have a case right on point. There's the Barnett case. It says clearly no. Of course, this becomes important in the context of testimony of an accomplice. If the individual who's testifying is determined to be an accomplice, then you can't get a conviction unless that testimony is corroborated by other evidence. Now, I cite on page 9 Oregon case authority on this, State versus Knighton, 39 Oregon, prosecutrix is not an accomplice to statutory rape. State versus Mallory, which held that prosecutrix is not an accomplice to fornication.
Better change that name of that case. Mallory was a better known federal case than a state case.
Yeah,
this was an old Mallory case.
The original Mallory.
This was the father.
Yeah, the other one's son of Mallory.
Mallory revisited.
But some of the language out of the Barnett case was right on point and well put, I thought. And, I set that out on page 10 of the commentary. That was a famous abortion case here in the state. And the court said, it's our opinion, it was not the intention of the legislature by the passage of ORS 161220 to make the consent solicitation of the mother culpable in an abortion action.
The problem is, of course, this kind of thing, that there are places where I think people are willing to say that that there's some culpability.
Right. And
the guy who gives into the blackmailer, perhaps. But then you get to the woman who marries a bigamist, not knowing he's a bigamist, and unless you exempt her from, by this way, why she becomes guilty of bigamy.
Well, no, because the question of intent would have to be there, and if she didn't know, she couldn't. That element would be missing.
So all the abortionist has to do is tell them that they're going to be accessory if they pull
in
the
some
whistle.
States it is, you know.
Or in some states they have a separate statutory crime to cover the mother or the person who's has the abortion.
Well, I don't think in the case of abortion, at least under the present feeling in this state, that you'd ever get a conviction if you tried to bring the mother up.
But you see, the way the statute's, the section's drafted here,
you see,
we'll leave an out here for the legislature by saying, except as otherwise provided by the statute defining the crime. Now, for example, then I'm not saying this would be what we'd want to do in the case of kidnapping, but if the kind of situation arose where the legislature wanted to impose liability on the type of individual who would normally be thought of as a victim.
The parent who pays.
Right.
Yeah.
This would be an exception to this provision here in this section.
We passed a prostitution bill this time in the Senate. Senator Roberts voted against it because she felt that the man was as guilty as the woman. But the technical legal point that you raise on the corroboration of the accomplice's testimony brings this to mind. Every doggone one of these prostitution arrests is made by a vice officer who accepts the money, goes to the room, and as the saying goes, secures sufficient evidence to make the pinch. You'd have to put a specific exception in that statute, specifically accepting the undercover officer, otherwise he could be construed as an accomplice and wouldn't be able to testify, right?
Well, no, because I think under Section 4, his conduct would be incidental. His conduct, it would take two to tango there, and I think his conduct would be incidental to the crime of prostitution or the crime of solicitation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess that is necessarily incidental.
I don't understand that, sub two.
Well, it's now on page 9, I set out the model penal code. Now, first of all, they